Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are joined, as always, on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including our own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. So, Corey, why don't you tell us, my good friend, what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we'll try to forget about all the losers in Packerville that aren't real fans. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not in the script. We'll try to forget about the second half of the regular season and get ready for the start of the playoffs and the big showdown with the Washington racist Redskins this weekend. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Mason Crosby.
Stripping the returner, showing that, hey, at least someone wants to make a play.
Micah Hyde.
Speaking of making plays, holy interception.
We got James Jones.
Quite possibly played the best game of the year.
And we got the bad. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Missing the guy playing his best game of the year.
Josh, left tackle sitting.
Should never have been put at left tackle.
Randall Cobb.
Never go to the guy, and then you go to the guy, and he drops it, and then you wonder, why'd you go to the guy?
And we got the ugly. We got Mike. Seventh season in the playoffs, McCarthy.
Yeah, seven seasons in the playoffs, but continually dumbfounding us with new ways to screw up his offense. So there you go. And we want to start off tonight. We know there's a lot of pent-up anger, a lot of pent-up frustration, fans against fans. Corey's kind of fanning those flames. I'm kind of fanning some of those flames, too. But we want to start off with talking about another ugly aspect right now that's maybe put some of this in perspective and maybe, just maybe, maybe possibly will cause everyone to take a deep breath, step back, and remember what we're talking about here. We have one of our own, our good friend, writer on the site, Adam Cech. Bad news today in his fight against cancer. I hope we can all take a minute. Send Adam some love on the live chat, on Twitter. The man is fighting for his life. His family is by his side. We could not be pulling for you more, Adam. Packer fans are behind you 100%. Hope that you feel the love from Packer Nation, despite all the bickering amongst us. Nothing but love from Packers fans. And I hope, as I said, it gives everyone a good kind of a moment to pause, reflect, step back, and say, you know what? For all the pushing and shoving we do here in Packer fandom, we're all pulling in the same direction. We're all rowing in the same boat. We all love the Green Bay Packers. Yep. No matter what is said tonight between Corey and I, no matter what is said on Twitter, we all love the Green Bay Packers. We may disagree with our opinions about the team, but we all love the Green Bay Packers. Adam is one of us. Adam, we're pulling for you. We're pulling for your family. We're thinking about you tonight, buddy.
Just a great guy. First time I met him. NFC Championship game, Chicago, Wally Pingle and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Met him at the bar at the hotel, him and his wife. Just a great guy.
What a better way
just to
meet someone.
I mean, every time I've hung out with him, just a truly incredible guy. Couldn't have happened to it happened to a really great guy. It
so
really
Adam,
sucks.
Adam, we're with you, buddy. We're thinking about you and pulling for you in every way, shape, or form. All right, so with that said, and that out of the way, with a little perspective here from kickoff.
Hold on. We have a beer sponsor to say hello to.
Oh, that's right. Let's get back down to brass tacks here.
So, this is some Wisco Disco. If you're watching this show, you know how this is done.
And this is a Perky Porter, by the way.
It's really good.
This is
I'm going to have that next.
Stuff.
I'm going to have that next after I bitch out Nagler. But first, we need you to tweet, I'm watching Packer Transplants on @CheeseheadTV, sponsored by @Wisco Disco Beer, if you would like to win. a Packer Legends poster. One of the last that's going to be able to be won this year by Mr. Brent Schoonover. It's an amazing thing. So tweet that out.
Wait a moment.
I don't think it's the real, though.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. Sound the bedarn siren. Which, of course, we don't have anymore because he never shows up. But
it's
Greg
sitting,
Bedard
it's sitting
is
over
in
on the
house.
Shelf somewhere.
Greg Bedard is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. On the live chat. Good evening, Greg. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, come on now. That ain't even bullshit. That's
Greg Bedard.
That's not the siren.
Thanks for joining us. Live from Boston. Yeah, we see you, Greg. So anyway. All right.
I'm trying to find the siren.
I know. But we've acknowledged his presence. Let's not make it bigger than it is. I mean, it's Greg Bedard. It ain't the Pope, you know?
Okay.
It ain't Vince Lombardi.
I'm going to keep drinking my beer.
That's what I'm
Get
talking
ready
about.
For my rant against you.
All right. Should we do some Packers news first before you start ranting?
Sure.
All right. So we'll start off with 17. That's right. Count them.
Yikes.
17 players on this week's injury report. On Wednesday's injury report from the Green Bay Packers, 17. Count them, ladies and gentlemen. Largest injury report of the season, just in time for the first playoff game. Very excited. I think headlined by Sam Shields still being in the concussion protocol. I mean, this obviously got to be a little concerning. I know
if we had Sam Shields, we would have won that game, by the way. Just FYI.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. But
FYI,
Mike McCarthy obviously asked about it today. You know, obviously they don't want to do anything to jeopardize Sam. That was his line. Clearly, you're it doesn't bode well. Guy got hurt. This has happened in the Dallas game and hasn't seen the field since. He did practice in a limited fashion for a bit last week, and now he's not participating again. Just doesn't bode well.
No.
So
well, and I do want to say something about the 17 players. We had 6 players listed in 2010.
All right.
Before we got into the playoffs.
Right.
So
there you go.
You know.
We also had like 15 on IR.
Yeah, I mean, well, 17 on the injured, and we got Ty Montgomery gone for the season. Who else?
Yeah.
I mean, so
a bunch of people. So then you got the whole offensive line is banged up as well. We've got David Bakhtiari with an ankle, sitting with his back. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Did not participate at all in practice on Wednesday. And then you move on down the line. We've got TJ Lang, a new addition to the injury report with his neck, a neck injury for TJ. Brian Bulaga still battling that ankle. And Corey Linsley also with an ankle. All three of those guys were limited in practice on Wednesday. I will say, I think of all the three of those, the one I'm least worried about is Bulaga. I know he's been battling that ankle for a while. Still played very well on Sunday night. And the other Packers news, the team got together. The players got together, voted their captains for the playoffs. However long those playoff games may be played. We got one Mr. Aaron Rodgers and John Kuhn for the offense. On the defensive side of the ball, we have one Mr. Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers. And on special teams, we have Mason Crosby, and I love this, Chris Banjo, a guy who didn't even make the 53, got, you know, bounced around.
A lot of fans
around,
were like, shouldn't that be Janis?
Bounced around a little bit, and I got a lot of that on my Twitter feed today. Shouldn't it be Janis? But, hey, this is what the team voted on.
Yep.
The players voted on this, and I just love this honor for Banjo, especially since you know, he played, actually, from scrimmage earlier this year in the Kansas City game, and he played well. Played well in relief when they had some injuries. Yeah. And this is a guy, these are the types of guys you need. Guys who are the bottom of the roster, don't get a lot of love, you know, but they perform when called upon, and he's performed well when asked to. When he's seen the field, he's played well. Love it. Love this honor for him. Very happy for him. All right, and that's, I think, oh, no, we have one bit. One more bit of Packers news. 2016 opponents are set. Obviously, we have the division foes, both home and away. Now, I know kind of the media line this week has been, when people have been writing about this, has been, you know, this should be an easier schedule. Well, you know, we all know that's a canard. We all know that's just kind of ridiculous, and you have no idea what it's going to be. We have no idea what any of this is going to be.
Nope.
What teams are going to be like. At the beginning of the year, you lay out a schedule, and you hell, it happens every time. Like, we do it now. We do it again in April when they actually release the schedule and you mark off wins and losses. We do it again in August when it's like the eve of the season and you think, all right, well, we got this quarter and then the next quarter is going to be easy and then that, you know, November is going to be really hard. And then you get a month into the season and everything's totally different.
And then before you're going to play in a playoff game, half of your fan base completely writes you off as losing.
It's like you have like a spine tonight. You have like a driving
I'm just
force
saying.
Tonight. You have like a, you are
I'm
a clear vision
okay,
tonight.
When you see in your chat people that are saying things like, I live in D.C., but I don't have the balls to buy a Packers ticket because I'm a little Debbie Downer. That gets a little annoying.
Is that literally what they wrote
no,
in the chat?
No, that's my paraphrasing.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. So anyway, we don't know if it's going to be easy or hard. They have, you know, the Giants, Dallas, Houston, Indy, and Seattle at home. Pissed off they got the Giants at home. I was hoping they'd be here. And then on the road, they have a couple East Coast games, so you and I may be able to partake. They have Philadelphia, Washington, and then they have Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Atlanta.
Ooh, Jacksonville, that's good.
Yeah, I'm all down. I'm going to get the cabana. I'm going to get going, baby. We should get one of those cabanas.
That's a win.
A Cheesehead TV cabana.
That's a win,
that needs to happen.
That's a win.
That's going to
happen. Mark that one zero.
Cheesehead TV cabana next year. One of those things.
I'd rather have the RV than the cabana.
No, do both. Do we go down in the RV, and then we get the cabana, and we get people to get tickets, and we all go? That'd be great. I'm in, dude. I'm
marking
you.
That a W.
All right. So, all right. Now, let's get down to brass tacks. You ready? You going to talk some football?
I have offense ready.
Let's you go got on. It? Oh, let's do it. So, we're going to talk about the offense. And yes, before anyone asks, before anyone posits any theories or ideas, Pete Prisco today on the old Twitter put it out there. He apparently has a column coming out tomorrow. Talking about the Packers offense and what they need to do going forward. And if I'm reading Pete right, sure seems like he's in the camp, and it's kind of how he leads it, that the Packers need to do something drastic on the offensive side of the ball. They need to change the way they play.
What are they
completely
gonna do? So what?
Well, this is interesting because someone did ask him this on Twitter, and he said, bunch of formations, crossing routes, rub routes, things to get up. I'm like, I resisted the temptation to point out the fact that they have done all that. Now, they haven't done a lot of it. And he also said run from the spread with Cobb, which they tried against the Vikings, and it went absolutely nowhere. Now, they've done all of that.
Yep.
They've done all of that. And it hasn't worked. Now, some of it, on occasion, has gotten Cobb open. It happened Sunday night. Aaron didn't see him or didn't look at him, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I am in agreement that it is time. It is time to change things up. And I think Packer fans kind of fall into two camps on this one.
I want to see which camp of these I fall into.
Because I've heard both of these. And I know which camp Josh Sitton falls into because he talked about it on the radio this week. Now, people either say, okay, they go into schoolyard mode when they're way behind. We've seen this a couple times against Carolina.
Yep.
We saw it against Minnesota.
Every game.
Like they get behind in the fourth quarter
offense,
and they open it up and they start throwing it around the yard, and they call it schoolyard. You know, Aaron's referenced it a couple times.
Or even what they did last week against Minnesota,
right?
Where
they start throwing it around.
Yep.
And everyone says, no, just start like that. Just play that way from the top. I think our own Corey Jennerjohn wrote earlier this week: give the keys to Aaron Rodgers, let him call the plays at the line, spread it out, and go.
Yep.
The other camp is where Josh Sitton falls, is do what they did that first drive against Minnesota. Make that your base offense, where you're going jumbo almost all the time. Whether that's two tight ends, whether that's two tight ends and a fullback.
Ooh, jumbo.
With only a single wide receiver. Let that be your offense.
I like jumbo.
And they did it with some pretty good results until Rodgers kind of hit Kuhn in there on the third down. And I know people are giving Rodgers grief about that play, but really, if Kuhn just runs a deeper route, that's a first down.
Yep.
Like, he's trusting Kuhn to run to the stick, and he doesn't. He runs short of the stick. So anyway, but yes, Corliss is open over the middle. But
I mean, I'm in that camp, right? I think what happens every time is, no matter what the score is, we forget that we're a run first. We talk run first.
Right.
And honestly, when we were down three scores, we could have still gone back to the run. There was plenty of time in the third quarter.
Totally agree.
And they didn't have an answer for it.
I totally agree.
And I don't understand. It's about consistency, right? and it's about calling things consistently. And I'm not even going back to play calling, but if you are, you have Eddie Lacy, you have James Starks.
Right.
I think what fans most get upset about, okay, if they have any reason to get upset, although I would say they don't, is this Evel Knievel, this the two-face, right?
Right.
Where it's like one side of our face is like, hey, we're a run team. And then right. The other side of our face is, hey, we're throwing it all over the yard. Who right. are we?
Yes.
Right? We don't have something we go back
I
to.
I think Josh Sitton would agree with you. I think Aaron Rodgers would agree with you. Now, here's the dilemma for me. I get the temptation, and I think McCarthy has fallen prey to this a little bit, in that he keeps running three wide receivers out there. He keeps running out these spread formations. I don't fall into the camp of play schoolyard, play, give Aaron Rodgers the keys and go, go, go. If only because I think our wide receivers have proven they can't get open a lot of the time. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. And a big reason the schoolyard thing works is because the defense is playing differently
yep.
than they are when the game is close.
Yep.
When you're down three scores, of course schoolyard is going to work because the defense is just keeping everything in front of them.
They're giving you everything in front of you, yeah. Yeah.
Of course schoolyard is going to work. But at the beginning of the game, when they're playing you straight up, they've tried to do maybe not schoolyard, but they've tried to spread it out. They've tried to go to their offense, Mike's offense, and it just hasn't worked. But you know what they haven't tried? They haven't tried doing what they did in that first drive. And I read earlier this week, someone said, Cameron, it might have been Silverstein, wrote, well, they went, jumbo in that opening drive, marched right down the field, a bad third down ruined it, kicked the field goal, okay, fine. And then they came back, and Tom wrote, they came back and they did something similar in the next drive, but they really didn't. Now, I know they go two tight ends, but they still have two wide receivers, and then in that drive, they started mixing in multiple wide receivers, and then they just totally got away from it. I'm saying just run the crap out of the football. And Mike has done this before, which is what even drives me even more crazy. If you go back to the Giants game here that they won in the last seconds when Rodgers hit Finley and then hit Nelson and then Mason Crosby kicked a field goal to win it.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the last kind of like 30 seconds of the game. In that game with Ryan Grant, Mike McCarthy used Grant as a battering ram. He ran it over and over and over again because he knew they couldn't block him in the pass rush. Like, they couldn't block him up. That's kind of what he has right now. His offensive line is totally beaten up.
Yeah.
Don't ask them to be athletic. Don't ask Josh Sitton to sit out there at left tackle. Get your maulers in there and maul them.
Well, and that's what I don't understand, because Minnesota was playing two safeties back in the second and third quarter.
Quite a bit.
And people say they
were taking away their run. No, they
weren't. That's the thing. If they're playing like that, why? We should be able to get 4 yards every time they have two safeties back. And if we can get 4 yards, we win.
Exactly. 4 yards is a win. And the other thing that kind of drove me nuts, too, is that McCarthy then kept calling plays to the left side, where his line is totally different. And I don't know where this is in the script. I don't know. But this whole moving Sitton to left tackle thing drove me nuts. It absolutely drove me nuts.
We're not there yet. You wrote the script, and you got to follow it.
Well, we got jumbo opening well, right? Okay, good. So let's go to the tape. Let's go to Randall Cobb. Let's go to the fact that Cobb, if you go back and watch the game, and I know I put him in the bad column because of the drop, but if you go back and watch the game, he actually works open quite a bit.
Yeah.
There are at least 4 plays where I saw he's, for the NFL, wide open. I mean, streaking. I mean, not vertically, but horizontally. Open. On a slant, on a crosser, he's open. Rodgers just either doesn't see him, doesn't look for him, doesn't trust him. I don't know.
Well,
but he's open.
There's two weird things that are going on for me with let's call it the Aaron Rodgers slump, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The two specific things are, when a team blitzes us, he doesn't immediately go for a hot read.
Yep.
Weird.
Ever.
Like, what is going on?
Okay, well, okay.
Part the second of that, okay. thing is,
mm-hmm.
I do think that a lot of this, and we've talked about this in other shows,
right.
You know, hate to go to the injury thing, but he's playing scared a little bit since, you know, middle of the season.
Yeah.
And he doesn't trust his line.
Nope.
He loves them, but he doesn't trust them.
Nope.
And he knows he can't 5-step drop, and he knows he's going to have to bootleg as soon as he feels anything. He's
got 3 or 4 seconds until he has to peel out.
When's the last time you saw Aaron Rodgers stick it in the pocket?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while, it's something that he actually is a little bit known for. Yeah, he's known for running around. Yeah, he's known for, but he...
Known for holding the ball and letting things develop. And then maybe taking a sack, but he'll hold the ball. And he'll stay back there. Yes, absolutely.
Like,
I feel you.
You know, it's very interesting to me that other teams' defenses are are using a blitz against us.
Well, here's the thing. I was
going to
say.
That's just bizarre to me.
Here's the thing. There's not a lot. I won't say not a lot, but there's not as much blitzing on early downs. They are blitzing on later downs because they're in third and long, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem with that. Here's the problem for the Packers and Rodgers specifically, is that when he gets blitzed on third and long, those hot reads may or may not be there, but he wants to hit the big play. Yeah. Not even the big play. I'm not talking like a bomb down the field.
He wants to get a first down.
He wants to get a first down.
Yeah.
He wants to get a first down. And then he does things like, at the end of the game, he actually trusted Richard Rodgers on a third down, on a one of those arrow routes outside, and didn't pick it up because these guys can't break a tackle. And that kind of feeds into it, kind of, reinforces his idea that if I throw it behind the sticks, these guys are not going to get a first down.
Yeah, and I think that's
kind of becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep.
He doesn't want to throw it, but then when he does throw it, the guys do not do anything to give him any more confidence to throw it again.
Yep.
And I get that. And I know people think I'm so down on Rodgers and I'm so like hypercritical of him, but I get it, man. I get why he's struggling. The idea that he's not struggling and that Aaron just needs help is ridiculous. But I also don't dismiss the fact that yes, he doesn't trust his protection, and yes, his wide receivers are letting him down quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, right? You can't just point to a play and go, oh, that receiver's open, that receiver's open. I mean, you don't have to play Madden to understand that you do not get to look at four receivers on every play.
Right.
You're lucky.
You get maybe your first two reads, maybe a check down, and you're gone.
By the time you're looking at that third guy, there's a guy in your face that's trying to drag you to the ground.
You got to make a decision.
Yes.
Throw the ball or get the hell out of there.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So... I think what is crazy to people, because this guy has been a phenomenon.
Yes. Yes.
This guy is a phenomenon.
An assassin. He's an absolute assassin.
And all of a sudden, in the middle of the season, he looks like a regular guy. And people are like,
he looks mortal.
What?
Yep.
He can be what? I thought he was half God. And it's surprising.
I feel you.
But here's the other flip side of that, right?
Right.
The flip side is, I would rather have, in the entire NFC right now, I would rather have Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback than any of the other five NFC teams.
I agree with that.
And
only because I've got an emotional investment in Aaron.
But even without that, I mean, yeah, Cam Newton, great, awesome. But, dude.
I don't know. If I'm being, like, totally impartial, I don't know. It's hard to turn down Cam Newton. If you were going to give me Cam Newton right now, I'd be like, okay.
Well, we'll see. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's Redskins, it's Arizona, and then it's coming back to Lambeau to play Seattle.
I love it. Speaking of I love it, I love what James Jones put on tape on Sunday. On Sunday night, that is the best game he has played in a long time. And it's a shame because, as we all know, couple opportunities for touchdowns, both wasted by bad throws from Rodgers. Can you play the Jones Vine? Do we have that loaded up?
Yeah.
This move, this route, this is so impressive. This is so great. This is James Jones against Xavier Rhodes at the end of the first half. Not just one, not two stutter steps, and then he's gone. That is the best cover corner on the Vikings, and he blows by him. Ancient old James Jones has a great triple move, gets open, and then Rodgers throws a bad ball. I just love this route. That's just great. It's just great stuff. And I love it. Like, the whole night, he worked against Rhodes. He worked against Newman. Whoever the Vikings threw at him, he was absolutely on point. Just a great game. And I know he's playing for a contract, and that's great, and I'm hoping he's back. I really am, because, I mean, where would they be this year without him?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, New York Giants.
Thank you, Giants, yet again.
Giants might be in the playoffs if they had James Jones, by the way.
It's quite possible, because they wouldn't have been such a disaster up in Minnesota without Odell Beckham Jr., but that's another story. And then finally on the offensive side, speaking of the offense, speaking of the offensive line, I guess, Josh Sitton. Some very interesting comments. I tweeted it out the other night.
I didn't see them. What were they?
Well, that's the thing. They were on the radio, and it was the guys, you know, Ellerson and Leroy Butler. Those guys were asking him. He's on there every Tuesday, which I didn't know.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that either.
I had no idea. But they asked him about the quote-unquote disconnect between McCarthy and Rodgers. And he, to his eternal credit, he was kind of real about it. Now, he joked, you know, I don't really have an answer. Ask me after the season's over. But then you got to go find, go the 106, the Fan, I think it is, in Milwaukee. Go find their website. Like I said, look down past on my Twitter feed. You'll find the link.
I like Gary Ellison, and I like Leroy Butler.
Butler's the one who asked.
I don't need no Bill Michaels.
And Butler was great.
As long as Bill Michaels isn't there, I'm fine.
Butler was the one who asked him about it. And it was, oh, man, I tell you, it was very interesting. And he just said, yeah, it's two strong-willed guys there. But he did also point out that, they are also the two guys who most answer to the media, which is very true.
Yep.
There's no two people in the
McCarthy
Packers organization that, are the figureheads with the media than McCarthy and Rodgers.
Yep.
Which I thought was interesting. I wanted to use that as a jumping off point for this whole idea, because it has taken off on social media about the rift, the disconnect, if you will, between McCarthy and Rodgers. Now, I've heard all sorts of just all manner of nonsense in regards to they're not on speaking terms, they're not this, they're not that, they're not friends, they're not talking. Okay, fine. Even if all that's true, which I don't think it is, but because I know a couple people.
I mean,
up there.
You don't, and you're, not, heard, you're and not no, supposed nobody to said be friends like with that. Your boss, by the way, FYI.
Or even get along with your friends all the time. Now, here's my thing. Everyone leading up to this show tonight on social media was I would say, taking kind of gleeful shots, or maybe even kind of posturing, kind of setting up you and I being at loggerheads.
Well, I called you a douche on Twitter.
In regards to the true fan thing, right? Now, I totally disagree with you on this, and you know this, and I know you totally disagree with me, but we're still friends.
All right, relax.
You know what I'm saying. We're still friends.
I mean, I did call, you're like the only person I can call a douche on Twitter.
Know, exactly.
Because it's just fun.
And it's fair.
Like, I can do that.
But.
It's just fun.
Like, we can have disagreements in public, and we can be we can have a disconnect.
Yeah.
When it comes to our opinions about the Packers or how Cheesehead TV should be run, whatever. There's just not a mad throng on social media calling for me to be fired. Like, this idea that Mike McCarthy needs to be fired.
Oh, my goodness.
And this whole, someone wrote to Wildy and said, Aaron Rodgers is screwing up on purpose because he wants McCarthy fired. Okay, people, take the tinfoil hats off your head.
Oh, my goodness.
Stop the nonsense.
Oh, my goodness.
Come back to Earth.
You know what? You know what
I got to go. I got an appointment back on Earth.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's like it's the same annoyance I get when producers get subjective about talent. It's it's not your job. Like,
yeah.
Look at the accomplishments. Look at what the person's done and then compare them to the other 31 teams. Okay. Mm-hmm. Name a team. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, you can't. That has gone to the playoffs. Actually, there's only one other team in the NFL. That is the New England Patriots, who are doing as crappily as the Packers currently.
I know, I was going to say,
it's
lost the last two games as well, and have looked like crap doing
it. Who have gone to the playoffs.
You heard that, Bedard?
7 years in a row.
Yeah.
7 years in a row.
First time in franchise history.
Just follow. Just unfollow all the millennials on Twitter, and the world will be at a better place.
Yeah. I hear you. Okay, so that's the offense. Where are we at? All right, that's good. We're making good time. Well, let's take this opportunity, though, before we dive into the defense, to talk about our friends at Legends of the Field. Now, if you're not experiencing the CheeseheadTV.com game day blog, you are really missing out. I got to encourage you to attend at least once. Do it for this playoff game. Come to CheeseheadTV.com, get on the playoff blog, and you Oh, yeah, Greg, start making your excuses.
Edelman and Vollmer. Oh, I thought the I thought the line was, oh, as long as they have Gronk, they're going to dominate. Oh, look, Gronk's been there in the last couple weeks, and they've looked like crap. But all right, yeah, okay, good.
Dude, the Packers would
Greg, eat. Greg, I'm totally just giving you grief.
The Packers
you know
would eat the Patriots lunch right now. I'm sorry.
Maybe. It's possible.
Don't laugh, Nagler.
I think it's possible. It's
don't
totally possible.
Make me come across this table.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
That friendship will go right out of the window. Yeah, you start talking about the Patriots beating the Packers. Okay.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Finish what you were saying.
I don't even remember. Oh, Legends of the Field.
Yes,
Legends of the Field. Come to the Game Day blog, win some swag, win some stuff, or go to legendsofthefield.com and get some amazing Packers memorabilia, signed or otherwise. They've got everything you could ever want, ever need as a Packer fan. Check them out, legendsofthefield.com. Awesome stuff.
Do it.
All right, you ready to move on to the defense?
Yes, which is awesome, by the way, FYI.
It is pretty awesome. Now, speaking of awesome.
The unsung defense.
Well, because everyone's so preoccupied with how terrible the offense is.
I like defense. Defense wins championships, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's what they say. But it helps to have points.
I saw this stat that was like, there's only like the St. Louis Rams. Like, pretty much if you don't have a good defense in the last 10 years,
yeah,
you haven't won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, exactly. The last time the Packers won the Super Bowl, they had a really good defense. Hello, it helps.
And this year, we have a really good defense.
Yeah, no, just need to score some points.
With our defense.
That's fine, man. More special teams. Jan is taking it back to the house.
I'll live with that.
Micah Hyde, a punt return, break the franchise record. He's tied with Will Blackman
and Desmond Howard. That's what I've been looking for this season. I've been looking for critical mass.
Right. For all to come to a head.
Where just like Devontae Adams, click. Right. Jeff Janis, click. Mm-hmm. Aberderis, click.
Well, it helped everything if Aberderis could get on the field.
Boom. Click. And all of a sudden, there is your 2017 Packer offense showing up for the 2016 playoffs.
I'm down with that.
And it can happen.
I know. I hear you. It's a new season. Now, will the Packers treat it as such? That's the question. But on with the defense. We're done with the offense. The offense has got to figure out their stuff on their own. Let's just say this. Julius Peppers is prone to disappearing. We all know this. We've all seen it. There are times when you question whether he's even on the field. But this is the game, or this is a game, where he can absolutely show up going against the right tackle for the Washington Redskins. Moses is a mountain of a man, but he can be beaten, and Julius Peppers is the man to do it. Now, I don't think, unlike Mike McCarthy, Jay Gruden does not put his vulnerable tackles in a bad spot too often. It does happen sometimes. But not too often. But when it does happen, when they do get in a third and long, and they're asking Moses to block Peppers, Peppers has got to win. He's got to cause some havoc. Now,
but we never really wait. We never really talked about that.
About what?
We never really talked about the whole moving sit in the left tackle thing.
Oh yeah,
we talked about that.
I didn't want to belabor it, you know.
But I don't think it was a complete fail.
It wasn't a complete fail, but it was just a bad idea.
But here's the thing, though. Is Don Barclay a worse idea? And maybe it is.
Not at Lambeau. Yes, he struggled in Arizona. So everyone struggled in Arizona. There's no question about that. On the road, hostile environment, I get it. Barclay is more than serviceable in Lambeau. And even if you don't want to do that, put Treader at right tackle, as you did down in Arizona. And move Bulaga, someone who's played left tackle, over to left tackle.
I hear you.
Don't tell Josh Sitton at 5 o'clock on game day that, oh, by the way, you're playing left tackle. Now, I get it.
But yes, isn't Josh...
He took snaps at left
Josh
tackle during
Sitton
the year.
The best player on the line?
At guard, yeah.
But okay. He's also the best athlete. But and you, he has
no,
most,
he's not the best athlete. And that's
and
the other thing.
And he has
thing.
The most Twitter followers,
now,
FYI.
And now you've moved your guard, who's used to playing guard, to left tackle, and oh, look, now he's on the injury report with a back.
But he was already on the injury
report. The guy with the bad back, you moved him out to left tackle, put him in space, and I've asked him to be athletic.
But that's a little disingenuous.
And you've heard him now.
It's a little disingenuous when your entire offensive line has been on the injury report for 7 weeks.
But don't hurt him more. And also, speaking of don't hurt him more.
But just playing any of them hurts them more.
No, but yes, playing where they're used to. That's all I'm saying. There are so many differences between tackle and guard, and I know you know this, and you're just being devil's advocate, but... play the, don't weaken two spots. That's my other thing. Like, yes, is Barclay going to be an issue? Probably. Deal with it. Oh, God forbid Mike gives him some help and keeps maybe a tight end in. God forbid we do any of that. No, let's move our all-pro left guard to left tackle, who hasn't played left tackle since high school, if then, at any kind of level.
Yeah, I think he did. So, play. I think he did.
So, yeah, let's move him to left tackle. And then, by the way, let's put Taylor at left guard. I mean, you've just weakened two positions. Deal with the one weakness you know rather than creating two.
Let's sweep all that under the blame Tom Clements tent.
Yeah, right. That's all McCarthy. All right.
Mike now, Pennell.
Mike Pennell, right. I tell you what, this kid continues to improve. Very impressive. I got two vines for you tonight. First, I'm going to show one from the Minnesota game, and then I'm going to show one from the Arizona game just because it's awesome and we haven't been on the air since that game. First of all, this is Pennell getting instant penetration and turning what could have been a pretty decent game to the outside.
On a Packer sweep, by the way.
Yeah. He forces McKinnon back inside, and Ryan's there to clean it up. I love this play. Love it. That's just disruption. That's just quickness off the defensive line creating disruption. Love that. And this kid has come to play. Now, this one I got to play just because it's freaking awesome. Watch Pennell here. That's just treating a guy like a rag doll. I mean, that's just awesome. Just look at it. See ya. The guy goes flying. That's like a cartoon. He throws the guy like it's like he's in Looney Tunes. I mean, that looks like a Roadrunner cartoon, for God's sakes.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. That's a good point.
I just love
that. Back to the sitting with something in the chat. Yeah. If Sitton would have had a good game, what would you have said then?
I said I would have. Right.
You would have been like, that was the most brilliant move in the history of the Green Bay Packers offensive line.
Right. Except that I said before the game that I didn't like the idea. People, I love this trying to attempt to gotcha. If I don't like something,
no, I'm attempting to gotcha.
I don't like it. Like, I don't. If it works, great. I'm wrong.
Yeah. You're also.
Wrong. You know what else, all the time.
Yeah, you know what else you're wrong about?
What's that? This should be great.
You're wrong that the Green Bay Packers are going to lose this weekend.
We're not even there yet. We got all sorts of script left.
I know
left.
What you're going to say,
we
Nadler.
We got all sorts of script left.
My ear actually popped.
There you go. You've been waiting. See,
my anger at you actually helped my right ear pop.
You're welcome. That's what I've been trying to do all night.
Oh, my God. You're wrong about that.
Okay,
I'm just getting ahead of it.
Can we get back to? Can we get back to? If I would have said I didn't like the idea, as I said before the game. Why does everyone have to play gotcha? Why? Why?
Fun.
Why
it's
is fun. People's like reason on earth on the internet to play gotcha?
It's fun.
Someone tweeted to me this week. I wrote during a game that Mike McCarthy was getting outcoached by Brad Childress, and I used hashtag fire McCarthy. Now, if you knew in context during that game that I was joking about all the people saying fire Capers and fire McCarthy, fine, right? Like back in 2009, live when I tweeted that, that's where my head was at, and that's where everyone who was following along at the time knew it was. But then someone seriously tweeted that back to me and said, oh, you don't want Mike McCarthy fired, but you wanted him fired back in 2009.
Of course.
What kind of moron are you that this is your life?
Oh, I'm going to go back to 2009 tweets and fire back at you and play gotcha. I don't know, but I bet they had an egg.
Gotcha is the dumbest shit on the internet.
I bet they had an egg as an icon and 14 followers.
Probably. Close to that. I'm just saying, it's so stupid. What would you have said if it was great? I would have said, wow, I was wrong. Breaking news. Aaron Nagler was wrong about something. No shit. Gift the hell out of that, people. So sick of it. I'm just sick of it. Anyway, what's next?
Clinton Dix.
What about him? You know what?
I was about to respond to something in the chat.
Do it.
But I'm going to refrain from that.
Do it.
No, I'm going to refrain.
Do
We're
it.
We're going to talk about Clinton Dix.
Yeah, what about him?
He needs to stay disciplined.
He does need to stay disciplined because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. DeSean Jackson can take it to the house at any moment. At any time, any point, it could happen. Just lying in wait to just blow the doors off the place. And Clinton Dix is having to be ready. Because I'll tell you what, if Sam Shields is unable to go, they're going to go to town trying to get deep to Deshaun Jackson. I bet you they take a deep shot to him at least once a quarter.
Oh, for sure.
And Glenn Dix is going to have to be ready. He's going to be playing center field because you know they like to drop down Morgan into the box. Glenn Dix is going to have to be on alert. We've seen plenty of coaches tape where Glenn Dix kind of takes the bait on a crossing route underneath, and then some guy goes on a post and just blows right by him. He is going to have to stay disciplined and stay deep. I mean, honestly, game more than any other.
Honestly, this game, to me, is going to be predicated completely on the defensive line of the Green Bay Packers. If the defensive line of the Green Bay Packers get penetration and can take over this game, it's over. If they can't, it's going to be the Deshaun Jackson show.
The Deshaun Jackson is a threat. There's no doubt about it. Jordan Reed is the one who will absolutely destroy
whatever.
The Packers.
But the secondary needs help.
Yes.
And the way they're going to get help is from Mike Pennell.
Right. From penetration. Mike Daniels. Absolutely. Julius Peppers.
Clay Matthews. Like,
they got to get home. They got to get home. B.J. Raji. They got to get home.
And they could in a big, bad way.
The opportunities are there, as we discussed before. Jordan Reed is the one they really got to worry about, but Deshaun Jackson is the one that scares you. That's all I'm saying. What's up next? Oh, Pierre Garçon. Speaking of weapons, I'm here to tell you, Packer fans, Pierre Garçon is going to get his yards. Now, I know we're talking about Deshaun Jackson. We're talking about Jordan Reed. Pierre Garçon can basically set up a tent in the middle of the field against the Packers defense. Against Dom Capers, Pierre Garçon has made a living out of the 15-yard in. And if Jay Gruden schemes it up the way I think he's going to, I bet you Garçon could have over 100 yards easily. Only just from running this in pattern that he loves to run to that, I think our friend Bill Johnson calls the soft underbelly of the Green Bay Packers defense, which is actually just a void in the zone. But that exists both in the Pittsburgh Steelers under Dick LeBeau and now Dom Capers all this time in Green Bay. It's just inherent in the system.
Yep.
That space is always there when they run their zone blitz.
Yep.
It is there all the time, and that is what Pierre Garçon has made a living out of in the last 5 years. So get ready for it. They got to tackle. They got to get him on the ground. He's going to get his yards. Just don't let it rupture into something big. That's all I'm saying about that.
This Perky Porter is really good.
I know. It's really good, dude.
It's like...
It's the beer that eats like a meal.
You get that like coffee taste in the beginning, and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember when I drank coffee this morning. It's a nice like night thing. I'm not afraid of Pierre Garçon.
I don't need to be afraid.
Honestly... I'm more afraid of bandwagon Packer fans.
Oh, my God. Okay, should we just go to the thing?
We're going to the thing?
Is it time to go to the thing?
Yeah, we can go to the thing.
Oh, let's go to the thing.
Okay, got to find the thing.
But find the thing, and then let's go to it.
This week in the Packer
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. I wanted to highlight this week.
Oh, no.
One of our friends over at Titletown Sound. Sound off. Titletown Sound off. Our friend Chris over there at Titletown Sound off has a piece written this week entitled McCarthy's Expiration Date Has Passed. And I will say that title is a real, that's click-worthy, baby. That's going to make you click. And it worked because I clicked. And I'll tell you what, I was going to read this piece from Chris, and I went in guns a-blazing in my mind. I'm ready just to hate this. I was ready just to call him out and absolutely tear him a new one.
Were you going to refollow him on Twitter?
No, I don't. Did I ever follow him on Twitter?
I don't think so.
Anyway, but I was just going to like just destroy him. And then I read it, and you know what? It's really well written. There's a lot of really salient points in there. And absolutely, the way he frames it in the article, as opposed to the headline, is very well thought out, and I get a lot of his points. I don't agree with a lot of his points, but I get it, and I get where he's coming from. The one kind of kernel that really caught my eye that I absolutely do agree with is the idea that Mike McCarthy could possibly, you know, I don't want to say be losing the locker room, because that sounds a lot worse than what I'm thinking it might be, I think might be happening. But his message is, there's definitely the idea that maybe, just maybe, his message is getting stale. And I know people, I had a couple people push back on Twitter about this. Did he, you know, with all the young guys on this squad, they're perennially always, you know, one of the youngest teams in the NFL, how can a message be getting stale? But there is definitely a core group of veterans that have been with McCarthy for a while, who are on their second or third contracts, who may be tuning Mike McCarthy out. Obviously, that starts with the quarterback, but it may extend to maybe a couple people on the offensive line, may extend on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know. There's no way to know. Maybe we'll find out this offseason. Maybe we'll talk to some people. Who knows? But in the moment, there's no way to know. But to be dismissive of that possibility is, I won't say dangerous because nothing's really dangerous here, but it's silly. Of course that's a possibility. And I think it's astute on Chris's part to point it out. Because as he points out at the beginning of his piece, Bill Walsh famously said, 10 years is about the shelf life. You know, about the shelf life for an NFL head coach. We just saw it play out in New Orleans. They're keeping Sean Payton, but it sure they got real close there. They were talking to a couple teams. No team wanted to pull the trigger on a second-round pick for Sean Payton, but they were talking to teams. They were ready to move on. You know, like, it's that point. So I think more than anything, and this is my thing. I went off on this on Twitter the other night, and I got a lot of pushback from certain people, et cetera, in regards to the Fire Mike McCarthy Brigade. I called it absurd. I think there are people in the national media who love to feed this. Boomer Esiason said it on Inside the NFL. Mike Florio put it out there today. You know, all these people who say, if Mike McCarthy loses this game in Washington, it wouldn't surprise me if he got fired. Now, of course, Mike Florio said the same thing last year after they lost in Seattle.
Yep.
People have said it before. And it just feeds into these fans who are ready to fire everyone all the time.
Yep.
Now, it's absurd to me. Now, I'm not saying it won't happen. Maybe Ted Thompson wakes up if they do lose to the Redskins and says, you know what, this year was a total disaster. We need new blood, et cetera, as is his prerogative.
Yep.
He has the power to hire and fire the head coach.
Yep.
It's in his contract.
And he, unlike the media, actually can feel the pulse
and
of
knows
the true
what is going on behind
what
the scenes.
F is going on.
Exactly. So maybe it happens. I'm not saying there's no possible way it can happen. I will say, I think, me personally, Aaron Nagler, as someone who likes to push back on me on Twitter all the time, like, how can you say that? Because it's my opinion. My opinion is it would be absurd to fire Mike McCarthy. He had the highest scoring, most efficient offense in the league last year. He's a he who shall not be named F up away from the Super Bowl. You know that thing where they give out the trophy with Vince Lombardi's name on it? He was that close to the prize last year. Now, one down year, a down year, mind you, that ends in a playoff berth.
That the Jets.
That we still don't know
Jets,
how it ends
that
up.
That the Jets and the Giants and the Browns would love to have. A season they would love to have. They give millions of dollars. They spend three times more money than the Packers to have.
So that's our down year. This is how it ends this year with a playoff berth, with a chance to go all the way. And people want to fire Mike McCarthy. Never mind that he just signed an extension last year. It's absurd.
Well, and
it's absurd. And
it's even more absurd.
One more thing.
All right.
I got one more thing. Tom Coughlin pointed it out perfectly in his exit press conference for the Giants. The Giants are run by actual football people, real football people, people who know the game.
Coughlin's like 20 years older than McCarthy.
And his quote was, you know, they don't panic after a failed third down, only after 2 6-10 seasons. The Giants have gone through 2 6-10 seasons. The Packers are 10-6 and are in the playoffs. And people want to fire Mike McCarthy. It's absurd. You take the long view. The Steelers have had three coaches since like 68.
Yeah.
They're a pretty damn successful franchise. Bad teams fire coaches willy-nilly.
Yep.
Bad teams take a 10-6 team and a coach with a shot at the Super Bowl and fire him. That's what bad teams do.
And that's why they continue to be bad.
And that's why they continue to be bad. It's just not how the Packers operate. Last 2 years, people have waited on pins and needles to see if Dom Capers was going to be fired.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just not how the Packers operate.
Now, on the flip side of that, they should have fired Lindy Infante 2 years before they actually fired him. But, you know what? I would rather, you got to take the long view. This is not Wall Street. And here's where the NFL gets the absurdity.
Right.
Because they're looking at every quarter. And a quarter in an NFL season is half a season.
Right.
Half of these coaches got fired for half a season.
Yeah, right.
Like the Niners. What's going on there?
Right.
Like, how do you get fired for what you did for half a season? Ray Rhodes aside. Because what was that all about?
I don't know.
Ted Thompson.
That's Steve Berline.
Something was happening there.
Yeah. So, you know,
it's just this whole idea. It's just like it's such prisoner of the moment nonsense.
If you take the long view, yes, has this year been disappointing? Yes. And I get it. We're in the playoffs. People would kill to be in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. There's no question it's a disappointing season. There's no doubt about it.
Depends.
Everyone thought the Packers were going to be Super Bowl contenders.
No, it depends.
And they have looked like garbage.
Yeah, but that depends, right?
For a good part of the
second
half of the year.
You care about style points. I do not.
I don't care about style points. I care about winning football games.
Okay, and I
may have lost six of the last games.
I don't care about winning football games. I care about winning the Super Bowl. And the last time I checked...
How do you win the Super Bowl?
You get to the
playoffs. Home playoff games seem to tend to matter.
Not in the last 5 years, they don't.
Okay, we're just talking about the history of the game, and now you're going to go the last 5 years?
In the last 10 years, but having a home playoff game actually hasn't mattered if you won the Super Bowl, by the way.
Probably true.
Hate to tell you.
So,
in this year's, as once you get in the
offense
playoffs...
Offense is just going to turn on.
Maybe.
It's true.
It's 0-0.
It is.
Okay.
Market zero, dude.
All I want is the Packers to get in the playoffs...
Right.
And then I don't want him to stink it up the first game. And then I want him to go all the way.
Could
and
happen.
Right now.
It could happen.
Right now.
Right.
They've done that much.
Yeah, it's true. You never know. We'll find out. Starting Sunday at 4 or whatever.
No. Well, if you listen to you on Twitter, then you apparently do know.
I don't know anything.
The entire outcome of the game has been predetermined by 90% of all Packer fans out there.
As I said... Several weeks ago, I can't pick them to win another game this year. I can't. Mike McCarthy has been beating his head against a wall for about 8 weeks. He's at a loss. I said it this afternoon when the media availability was going on, and I was watching Mike answer these questions, and he mentioned it in his press conference. Everybody keeps asking the same questions in a different way. Because Mike, all the same questions are there that were there 8 weeks ago. You haven't solved anything. You haven't done anything. And I don't think a game against the Redskins in the playoffs is going to magically turn everything around in regards to how Mike approaches the game with this squad. Now, can the offseason come, a study be done on his end as far as what worked, what didn't, where did I mess up, blah, blah, blah. He steps away from the thing, gets some people back, we get a draft class, we get Jordy back, etc. And then they, steamroll people next year? Absolutely that can happen. And it can also go the other way. It can be just a downward trend, and, all of a sudden next year happens, and maybe it's more of the same. And then we seriously start to discuss what's going on with Mike McCarthy.
Here's my issue, right?
But until
you're already talking about next year,
because it's a possibility after this game.
Yeah, we're going to have one more show, Nagler.
I understand that.
Okay.
It's a possibility.
No. Right now.
You can't just dismiss it.
Why not?
Could they win this game?
Yes.
Could they lose this game?
Possibly.
Yes, exactly.
But right now we
and
don't know.
And I'm preparing for both outcomes.
And this is my issue.
Right.
Okay? This is my main issue with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about true fan, real fan. Everybody wants to stick that back in my face.
Well, you did use hashtag real fan.
But yeah, of course.
Or true fan.
Because there are true fans and there are real fans.
I hear you.
But it's not really about that.
Mm-hmm.
I watch the NFL, and I think most people watch the NFL because it's escape, right?
Right.
Also, I watch the NFL because I was born in Green Bay, and I don't really have any other choice.
It's in your blood.
It's just how I have to live my life.
Yep.
But I don't know, and you don't know. And this is why I put on the chat. Right. You get paid to say how you feel about the Green Bay Packers. You get paid, okay?
Right.
99.99999998% of all Packer fans do not get paid to talk about how they... So they're like, oh, I'm a realist. I'm a realist. I don't need realism. I got realism at my regular job, okay? Yeah.
Word.
I got 3.8 million people showing up for my broadcast and worrying about all kinds of other freaking things in my real life.
Right.
Okay?
You want
what
to escape.
What I cling to hope with is the Green Bay Packers. Okay? What I live and die for on Sundays when I watch the games is the Green Bay Packers. Okay? And yeah, I get pissed at them like anybody else. But I've matured a little bit. Just a little bit.
I can confirm this report.
Enough to be able to have the perspective of like, man, all my Jets fans, all my Cleveland. I got two people that work for me that are Cleveland Browns fans. They're freaking devastated.
All the time.
They got Johnny Manziel people. So just have a little perspective in life for 2 seconds of your life, right? So after a Packer game, maybe I think about Adam Cech. Going, holy shit, I'm going to fucking die. And that sucks. And like maybe he had that Hail Mary game and he had that, and that was amazing for him.
Right.
And it's like, just think about that for 2 seconds before you go spouting off all your negative freaking crap all the time. And remember that this is escapist entertainment. We want them to win. We don't want them to lose. It doesn't matter if they probably will lose. Because guess what? The best games I ever saw in my whole life, the Packers were supposed to lose, and they won the game. And everybody was counting them out, and they freaking won. And whether it was Brett Favre or Lynn Dickey or Aaron Rodgers, it was amazing.
Word.
Everybody said the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to beat us in the Super Bowl. Everybody said the Philadelphia Eagles are going to beat us at home. Everybody said Atlanta Falcons had our number, and they didn't. And the Bears didn't have it, and none of them had it. We can beat the Washington Redskins, and that's all that matters on Sunday. And I wish people just focused on that for 2 seconds of their life.
Well, there you go. You came for a Banky rant, people, and you got it. The man delivered. I have no response to that because I agree with all of it. Nothing I can say. I have no pushback. I have no nothing. Amen, brother. I feel you. You ready?
Yep.
All right. So that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connected with us on the live chat. You guys really helped make this the unique fan experience. And that's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Go Pack Go.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.